Welcome to The Dealmaker, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646 or online at thedealmakershow.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We got a great show for you this morning. We have Rebecca Cullen here with Keller Williams. Rebecca, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Rebecca, give us a kind of a rundown of, you know, kind of how you got into the business, the real estate business. You do some investment properties. You're going to be talking a lot about that this morning.
Yes.
So tell us about, you know, who you are and how you got in the business.
Thanks for asking. Okay. So in 2015, I got into real estate. I had bought and sold a number of properties using real estate agents. And
yeah.
I was doing the day-to-day event planning business and
right.
realized that it was not the life that my husband and I wanted me to have with two kiddos, two littles, and decided that I was ready to make the plunge into real estate and own my own business, which was the scariest thing to do. And so January 2016, joined a group here in the area, and that's where the magic began.
Awesome. So take us back to the event planning. So obviously very service related.
Yes.
So kind of give us a background there, because obviously I think, you know, we kind of conduct business very similarly in the fact that, you know, we're very, very service based. That's kind of the forefront of how we want to conduct our business. So take us back a little bit and, you know, kind of give us some examples of kind of the what you took from event planning, which is very service related, very mm-hmm. Heavy on communications with clients and that type of thing, and how that kind of translated into the real estate world.
Yeah, so it definitely does go hand in hand. And I went to University of South Carolina and graduated in hospitality and immediately went into club management. So I was at one of the most prestigious clubs for about 3 years here in the Charlotte area.
Yeah.
And then went and had an opportunity to open up a new facility in Uptown Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I spent the next 3 years at Foundation for the Carolinas, which is the community foundation for our region.
Yeah.
And basically sold private space and hosted hundreds of weddings and hundreds of corporate and nonprofit galas. And it was incredible. And to be part of people's very special day was such a gift.
Yeah.
And so I kind of had that Ritz-Carlton mentality, and everything as far as remembering people's beverages and their favorite colors, that was something that I really just had a gift to remember those details.
Yeah, and it's definitely a skill for sure.
Yes. And, seeing the client from the beginning of the day at 2 o'clock when they were loading in until 2 o'clock in the morning when their band was leaving was a little challenging doing it every weekend.
Right.
So, although lovely and wonderful, I definitely wanted to make a change.
Sure. That Ritz-Carlton experience you mentioned, you know, if you've never stayed at a Ritz-Carlton, it is a different level of experience and service. And so, you know, but once you learn that skill that, you know, that you mentioned, it really does translate, and it really is very impactful to, you know, people and how they, you know, view, you know, your professionalism. And obviously you do that exceedingly well. And as, you know, the Ritz-Carlton, you should go stay there one night just to see if you are in a service related business, if you're a real estate agent, you know, a mortgage lender, whatever it may be, I would encourage everyone to go stay at a Ritz-Carlton for one night and see how you're treated.
Absolutely.
And see how great that makes you feel, and then find ways to do that in your business with your clients.
Yes.
So you get into the real estate business in 2016. You're a seasoned investor at that point.
Yes.
And so you kind of get into it for kind of continuing on in your own investment properties, obviously. Yes. And we're going to get into this piece, but you know, as a real estate investor, in my opinion, we'll talk about it, but you know, cash flow really is king.
Yes.
And I think people make the mistakes, real estate investors make the mistake of not really prioritizing every dollar.
Right.
And so if you're buying a lot of properties, obviously, you've got a lot of expenses that you can maybe start taking over yourself by becoming a licensed real estate agent. So you get to that point and you start doing some of your own properties. You start helping, you know, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, whatever it may be in real estate. So kind of take us from, you know, that first kind of 6 month window, the 12 month window, really how you get started. Cause you know, Rebecca, you are a very successful, real estate agent in a short amount of time. So
Thank you,
kudos on that. So, we talk about the show is really for, you know, lenders and real estate agents and home buyers here in our market. So kind of give us a quick rundown of what you did to be so successful.
Yeah. So as far as the investment properties and having that experience behind our family portfolio, we didn't have the opportunity to sell our house when we wanted to move to Fort Mill. So it just made sense for us to put it on the rental market.
Right.
And, you know, we were able to carry the two mortgages, which was amazing. And it was our first step into that world. And that was back in 2011, I believe.
Okay, awesome.
And so we just kind of fell into it. And we realized that our mortgage at the time was $1,000 and the rental was $1,400.
Perfect.
And so it was a total no-brainer.
Yeah.
To take that money, and we at the time were thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, we'll just put that into the other mortgage. Mm-hmm. And then we started realizing, oh, okay, well, our HVAC had to be replaced. Okay, what are we going to do with that money? How
right.
are we going to get that money? And it wasn't until we had a great conversation in 2016. So that was 5 years later.
Yeah.
With our CPA, that we could have been allocating some of those expenses against the rental unit.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we weren't very savvy in the first 4 years of our rental property, yet we paid down our mortgage heavily.
Right.
And we had the opportunity, because I was now a licensed real estate agent. If anyone remembers in 2016 how fast the market was moving under the $250,000 price point.
Yeah.
Which it's still doing that.
Right.
Yet we got a phone call from someone who noticed that our listing had expired previously and just kind of made us an offer. And we were like, okay, well, it's time for us to sell that house anyways.
Yep.
It was in Matthews, North Carolina. And we made about $20,000 profit after having the 4 years of rental income.
Of $400 a month positive cash flow.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. And, you know, at the time we were able to put against the house, you know, a new HVAC system, multiple new plumbing things, and those were all write-offs on
right.
those taxes against that. So it wasn't until that conversation with the CPA we started to get really savvy. And we partnered with a financial planner, and one of our goals, my husband and my goal, was to own a vacation home. And that became the next step. We had already had that rental, the rental home.
Right.
And the history of that. And the market was moving so fast that we didn't want to pay inflated prices for
right.
a new rental property. So we went down to the beach and took a lot of that money and put it into what we now have as a Holden Beach vacation home.
Perfect.
So I tell you all that because in 2016, I started helping clients of mine who now I have this knowledge from my CPA and my financial planner and mortgage friends, mortgage lender friends, that I had friends just picking up the phone saying, how can I do this?
Yeah.
How can I be like you and your husband and have positive income?
Right.
And so just helped. I've helped four or five families my first year in real estate mm-hmm. with the investment properties. And one guy in particular, he Airbnb'd his entire house and he lived there and his whole mortgage was paid for.
Yeah.
So smart.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely want to get into some Airbnb stuff. Yeah. Cause you know, like you, I've got a few rental properties, never gone down that road. You hear great things. You hear some bad things. So I'd love to get into that with you. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. We've got Rebecca Cullen here, talking all things investment properties. About to get pretty deep into that. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. Kind of start out, you know, at the beginning of, you know, getting in. If you're a listener out there and wanting to get into real estate investing, what's the first step?
First step is have a conversation with the mortgage lender.
Yeah.
Or if you are planning on taking cash into this and you have a financial planner, that would be my first recommendation. Second recommendation is to get with your real estate agent, get with your partner. I'd love the opportunity to have that opportunity to be interviewed. Mm-hmm. Just start asking questions.
Right.
And honestly, as a real estate agent, I ask those people questions up front. The goals of someone who wants to own an investment property, you know, I personally like buy and hold.
Give us some of those. Yes. Why real estate invest? You know, we've got, you know, the fix and flips, which, you know, you see on TV, maybe not as lucrative as you would think on, you know, just, you know, your average person. But of course, there's, you know, rentals, long term holds.
Yes.
So why real estate invest?
I was told, I don't know, back in 2010, which, you know, we were kind of in that interesting market in Charlotte, where yeah. things were coming back and buyers, first time home buyers especially, were able to get really great deals. And I think there was a tax incentive at the
big
time.
Big tax incentive, yeah, about $8,000.
So real estate investing is always going to appreciate. Typically, I mean,
right.
yes, we had a really big downturn. Yet if you buy savvy and you buy with someone who is an expert, market expert in your area, mm-hmm. it is typically going to always appreciate in value. And I believe I heard, you know, all the top billionaires of the world,
right.
they all made their money through real estate investing.
Yeah, I think the stat is, you know, 90% of self-made millionaires are done through real estate.
Right, exactly. So. And, you know, if you're in York County especially and you bought a house in 2012, it's time to call your local real estate
yeah.
agent because it is likely you have about $20,000 to $40,000 worth of equity sitting
yeah.
Just because of how York County has grown in the last couple of years. And so, you know, real estate investing is a way for people to make smart choices
yeah.
and have positive cash flow.
Right. So if you're thinking about it, obviously, you know, the questions we touched on it, you know, how do I get started? Why do I get started? So, you know, just take a let's answer some of those questions real quick. So what do you need to get started in real estate, you know, to purchase, you know, a real estate property? At least if you're going to finance it, we can do as little as 15% down. You know, I really strongly recommend you put 20% down. You're going to get a much better deal. And like I said previously, in my opinion, when you know, as far as like the long term holds, you buying a property, renting it out for years, the longer term position, you know, I think cash flow really is king. You know, how much can I cash flow? And we'll talk into, you know, some percentages and what makes it a good investment. But that's, you know, that's starting out. So if you're looking to finance your first investment property, you know, really plan on having 20% down. Mm-hmm. And that's going to set you up for, you know, a lot better cash flow as well. And then we'll kind of, again, talk about some numbers. So you mentioned having, you know, a team. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that, you know, very all the time. And in fact, you know, every client that comes through my door, you know, we want to set them up with not just a mortgage, but, you know, a consultation with a CPA, financial advisor. Obviously, most of the time they've already got, you know, a great agent. So we really work as a team with and insurance as well.
Yes.
Which is a huge piece of the financial puzzle. And so we really want to see our clients succeed financially. And there's so many things, and we'll talk about taxes first, when buying an investment property, what it can do for your overall financial situation. Right. Obviously, tax incentives, there's a lot in real estate, as you mentioned earlier. So when you buy a real estate property, an investment property, you've got your rental income coming in. Mm-hmm. What are we having to pay taxes on that? What are there write-offs available? Like, how does that all kind of fit into our financial picture?
There are, and of course, I'm not a licensed CPA, so right. Consult your licensed CPA. Yet, you know, for my husband and I, especially in a certain tax bracket, it made sense for us. It was actually recommended by our financial planner to go ahead and start thinking about where we're going to move our bulk of cash.
Right.
And the recommendation was to buy another home. And, you know, because they know that background, it's really important to have the full conversation. And so my CPA noticed, you know, at the end of the year, since we own our own businesses,
right,
we're 1099 and there's different
self-employed,
right. Exactly. And so, he kind of was like, hey, Rebecca, you're going to get dinged pretty heavily if you don't allocate those funds elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for those who don't understand 1031 exchanges, which is a whole different category, if we were planning on buying and selling another home last year, mm-hmm. which would have made it three homes in 2 years,
right.
we would have had a pretty hefty capital gain challenge on our taxes. And so, you know, consulting, truly hiring the professionals and consulting with them so that they can say, hey, Rebecca and Dan, if you have a surplus of $20,000, seriously consider about potentially buying a $150,000 university area of Charlotte home.
Which is really a good price range for, you know, first time, you know, real estate investor, you know, don't go crazy, you know, buy the $500,000 property. You know, the $100,000-$150,000 price range is really a great market to get into. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some good, cash flow in that price range.
Yes.
You know, after you put 20% down, obviously the 1031 exchange, you know, what you mentioned, if you were a seasoned, you know, real estate investor, you have some properties that you have that you're going to sell, obviously a hot market right now. You could sell it for a, probably a good profit right now if you've had it for a few years. Well, instead of, paying taxes, let's say you make $100,000 profit, you know, your tax bill on that's going to be about $30,000 when you factor in, you know, depreciation that you've taken on your taxes, over the past few years. Obviously that's going to reduce your taxable income those past few years,
right.
But, and we'll talk more about that too. But, when you do a 1031 exchange, you're able to take that $100,000 profit, defer any taxes, and go out and buy a new investment property. Now, it has to be a like-kind transaction,
right.
So real estate to real estate. But, you know, you can really defer those taxes, and maybe you get to a point where, you know, you're buying a property that's $100,000. Mm-hmm. If you were paying taxes on that profit that you just sold, well, you've only got $70,000 left, you know, per se. Well, with the 1031 exchange, you can use all your cash, pay cash for the entire property, and defer that tax bill until – you know, down the road until you sell that property.
Right.
Of course, you can do another 1031 exchange at that time as well.
Right.
So 1031 is just a tax deferment up until you sell the last property in that transaction before you pay the tax bill on that.
Yes.
So it's a good deal.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, when you're financing an investment property, talk about this too, because, we really want to get down to the numbers, make sure it's a good investment for you, and at home. And so when you're buying a investment property, there are slightly higher interest rates.
Right.
So, you know, you may see the market interest rate right now is about 4.75%, according to Mortgage News Daily, which tracks all the conventional and FHA rates and compares with every lender in the U.S. About 4.75% right now. With an investment property, you're going to look about a percent higher. So somewhere around 5.75, you know, call me if you want to get a quote, if you're actively thinking about real estate investing, 704-999-6646, or catch us online at carolinasmortgage.com. But yeah, you know, when you're purchasing an investment property, Rebecca, what are the things, hey, this is going to cost me $1,000 a month. We got a client, we're working together. They talk to me, hey, I give them their payment. It's $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. What price range are they looking to be at, or how do they get an idea of, hey, this property should rent for this?
Yeah.
You know, how does that go about?
Great question. So I've made it kind of my mission for the last 2 years to find really great property managers.
Yeah.
And they are definitely the subject matter expert when it comes to the rental.
Yeah.
Yet I am able, on a high level, I'm able to look at most of the neighborhoods when we're able to dissect which neighborhood is the right fit for each client.
Right.
Typically, you know, if you tell the client as the mortgage lender, you know, you have a $250,000 budget and the buyer knows that they want to be in the $1,000 a month price range or monthly range for their mortgage, we're looking at probably zip codes 28269. Mm-hmm. I like to go by zip codes as a real estate agent.
Perfect.
So 28269. That's
a university area.
Yep. Exactly. 28262, which is the other side of 77 up in that same area.
Yep.
And then you have 28216.
Mm-hmm. Mountain Island Lake area.
Exactly. Yep. And then 28214,
yep,
which is Mount Holly,
yep,
or it's right south of that. And then, of course, you have 29732, which is Rock Hill,
yep,
and 29730, which is the other side of Rock Hill. That's typically where I recommend people to invest their money when they have that kind of budget. And depending on the different areas, you're looking at about a $1,200 to $1,600 monthly mortgage, or excuse me, monthly rental income. So if you have a $1,000 mortgage and a potential of $1,200 a month from your tenant, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, $200, you can just pocket that. And as the market appreciates in value, you can always raise those rental rates.
Right. And typically you will see a, you know, increase in rental rates. So it's about 20%, you know, cash flow there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As a new person getting into real estate investing, what are the, you know, quote unquote, hidden cost of buying real estate? You know, do we need to factor in, you know, maintenance costs, things like that? And what are kind of those numbers that we need to kind of be aware about?
Yes. So you're going to see, the benchmark is save 30%. Mm-hmm. Save 30% of whatever your income is or your surplus from each property,
mm-hmm,
and allocate that towards your maintenance. You'll see, you know, if you decide to hire a property manager, I personally don't have property managers because this is the world that I'm in, and I know enough about the maintenance and great teammates that I have.
Yep.
And it is recommended, though, if you're outside of the area or you just have, you know, a lot going on in your life, to hire a property manager. So that's an extra fee associated. And then, of course, you know, the problems. So if a leak happens, or inevitably they want a light bulb changed in the middle of the night, those are definitely things that are going to happen. And, you know, if someone doesn't pay rent for 2 months, do you have a plan in place?
Right.
And typically, if you have a property manager on the property, then that will help relieve that.
Yeah.
Yet you may not have monthly income coming in.
Right. So certainly things to look out for, not just, so you got your mortgage payment, but you also want to look out for maintenance costs, mm-hmm. make sure you got a surplus of funds, you know, for, hey, if the, you know, fridge goes out or
right.
whatever, you know, you are on the hook, not your tenant, to get that repaired and get it repaired, you know, quickly. You
yes.
know, if you're going to get into this, you want to be a good landlord, and do right by your tenants.
Yes. And the benefit there is you keep great tenants. I had
right.
4 years worth of tenant in one property.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I knew he was always going to be there and he was always going to pay on time. And each month or each year, his mortgage went up, or excuse me, his rental rate went up, and he didn't even care.
Yeah.
He was just grateful to be there.
Yeah.
So when you have happy tenants, that's a good thing.
It really does make a difference. I had to, I've been a real estate investor since, you know, the mid 2000s, and still have one of the properties that I bought in 2005. I still have, and for the past 5 years, I've had the same renters in there. And every year,
awesome.
You know, I call them up and say, hey, you know, your lease is expiring. What you guys want to do? They're like, we're just gonna stay another year. I'm like, totally cool. And I've actually, you know, have kept the same rental rate for the last 4 years because,
nice.
You know, they don't bother me at all. I don't have to, you know, go fix anything. If there's a problem, I say, hey, we'll get someone out. He'll actually call and get it all done. Of course, you know, I pay for it.
Right.
But so they're phenomenal tenants and it makes sure. such a big difference.
Yes.
So, but yeah, you know, let's talk about, you know, property management versus, mm-hmm. you know, self-managing. Both
right.
you and I self-manage. Mm-hmm. I've got two rental properties. So I don't have a ton. It's nothing that's going to, you know, overtax me or anything
right.
like that. So I self-manage. What are the pros and cons of hiring a property manager?
Okay. So big pro is they handle everything. Any maintenance call, literally, as long as it's sometimes $500 is the benchmark for them, where if it's under $500, you don't even hear about it and they take care of it. If it's over $500, of course, they give you a courtesy call. So the huge benefit to the property manager is that that's their full-time job and it's their job to keep it filled.
Right.
And so they're marketing, they're keeping the tenant up to date with when their lease has to renew.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, okay, just send me the money when it comes in. So that's the benefit there. The con I would say is that you don't know what's going on with your property.
Right.
And, you know, if you have someone in there for long term, maybe 3 years, and all of a sudden you want to go sell it and you walk through the property and it's not loved and it's not cared for.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's kind
you got
of like,
work to do.
I'll just say it out of mind. You might have, you know, $30,000 worth of repairs to make.
Yeah.
So that could be the con. Yet, it's the right fit for so many people. I have mm-hmm. clients that I work with that I've helped buy homes. Property management was the right way for them to go.
Yeah.
And truly, they just wanted positive income,
right.
positive cash flow. They didn't care how much it was for the property manager.
Right.
And that, you know, we were talking about customer service.
Yeah.
It's important to find high-level customer service property managers out
Absolutely.
There. And, you know, all property managers are not alike.
Yeah, no, that's definitely for sure. So, yeah, my recommendation would be, you know, going back to the cash flow is king. If you're looking mm-hmm. at getting into real estate investing, you should really kind of understand what it takes, you know, to manage a property mm-hmm. And maybe look to do that yourself, you know, if you just got one or two. Unless, you know, you find a steal on a property and your mm-hmm. cash flow is fantastic, then sure, look at that. But if you're just getting started out, you know, get a feel for actually what it takes mm-hmm. and do it yourself until you kind of graduate, to maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 properties.
Right.
Then, you know, you start kind of handing that off and you know, then you've got kind of a volume of cash flow coming in that you can, you know, kind of, piece that out a little bit
right.
and hire a property manager who's going to take great care. But yes, find a great property manager, interview people,
yes.
And make sure you're getting a good one, because the last thing you want is to give money away
right.
and have a bad experience.
Exactly. Well, and you know, you made a good point. We haven't even talked about attorneys. So yeah. Part of your team, the investment team that you have, an attorney is definitely one of the top people that you should be interviewing, especially if you're going to be self-managing. They're going to be creating leases for you. They're going to have your back. And, you know, sometimes it might make sense for you to put these investment properties into an LLC, depending on what your goals are. And that's where an attorney is important to bring in.
Yeah, good point. You are listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate, talking all things investment properties, how to get started in this market. We've got Rebecca Cullen with Keller Williams here, a seasoned investor herself, and has helped numerous investors buy properties here around town. I as well have investment properties for over a decade now, so given as much knowledge as we can share with you today. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So, Rebecca, you mentioned, you know, I have an attorney and you know, an LLC. So let's talk about that, because that is one of the questions I get a lot. I do talk to a lot of investors. Should I buy the property in an LLC or just my personal name? So let's talk about that for a little bit. When you're looking to finance an investment property, there's technically two different natures of financing out there. One is residential. One is commercial.
Yes.
So if you want to buy a real estate property in an LLC, well, that now is a commercial transaction. You can't just go to your local mortgage company and get a mortgage for that.
Right.
Because that's now a commercial transaction. You would have to buy it in your personal name. Afterwards, you can actually do what's called a quit claim deed and transfer it into an LLC. And of course, the mortgage note will remain in your personal name. The property is now titled in your business name.
Right.
So pros and cons to that. Obviously, you know, consult an attorney and there's not much difference in terms of taxes.
Right.
You're still going to get a lot of benefits from regardless if it's an LLC or personal name with buying a property. We'll still talk a little bit more about taxes. But what an LLC is going to do for you is basically just protect you. If someone goes on your property, slips and falls, well, they can, you know, sue the LLC and get whatever they've got, but they can't come after you personally.
Yes,
so
that's
great. So it's a fantastic, you know, preventative, almost an insurance policy against your personal assets if you are an investment property. Do you come across that a lot? The same questions that you get with your clients?
It is often, and it, of course, it typically gets to the mortgage lender at that point as well, where they assume that they should just go ahead and put it into the LLC immediately.
Right.
And that's where the conversation, again, with the professionals about the different negatives, I guess, initially. They're probably not going to have enough, unless their LLC and their business has enough income, they probably don't have enough to get a loan. Is that a correct statement?
Pretty much, yeah. And you're just going to get much better terms on a residential mortgage as well. Again, you know, rates are probably around, you know, the mid 5%, upper 5% right now for a residential mortgage on an investment property. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy it in your business name, it's a commercial transaction, you're probably going to get a 2 to 5 year balloon.
Right.
And it's going to be, you know, upwards of, you know, 6-7%. Depending on some different variables, if you can get a commercial loan.
So right.
If you're just starting out, probably not likely.
Yeah.
So a big difference just in the financing cost.
Yes. Well, and so where we're mostly seeing the switch is, you know, they close on their investment property either as a second home or an investment, and then they go back to the attorney and have the deed recorded again as a quit claim. And so that is just another, what is that? That's like, depending on the property, another deed recording and mortgage recording.
Right. Yeah. And very simple process. The attorney probably, if you do it right after you purchase the property, obviously you're paying the attorney for the purchase.
Right.
If you do it right after, I mean, you're probably looking at it, maybe $150, you know, charge to re-record the deed and now your business name. But I do recommend it.
Right.
I recommend you buying investment property in your personal name, mm-hmm. and then shortly thereafter, you can go ahead and file a quitclaim deed with that closing attorney and title it in your LLC name and start putting that hedge of protection,
yes,
you know, around your personal assets.
Yes.
So when I'm looking at, you know, price range and location, mm-hmm. you know, my personal stance is, you know, buy where you know.
Right.
Yes. You know, so, you know, if you're not familiar with, you know, Davidson or Lake right. Norman and you're living down here in Fort Mill, don't go buy a real estate property in Davidson if you don't know the area.
Right.
So, you know, I think this goes to why we would want to buy a real estate investment property. And we'll talk about that. So obviously I want to cash flow, mm-hmm. but also maybe I want to buy for, you know, future value. Obviously, yes. if you look at Rock Hill right now, mm-hmm. Rock Hill is one of those places where, hey, I want to buy for future value. You see the things, the development plan for Rock Hill. We've talked about on this show, phenomenal plan in place about yes. where Rock Hill is going to be in the next decade, 15, 20 years. So, you know, if you're buying long term, you can kind of look at Rock Hill and say, okay, I want to buy for future value.
Right.
But obviously there's places that, you know, you want to buy for cash flow. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that and kind yeah. of, you know, buying where you know.
Yes. So Rock Hill is a great example. Clover is a great example
yeah,
of
Clover's
that,
hot,
too.
For sure.
Clover is where Fort Mill was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so especially in some of those subdivisions, buy low and sell high in probably 3 or 4 years. So my suggestion about South Carolina, though, is if you are currently a resident, or I guess it's you could be a resident anywhere, it's your right. second property in South Carolina is going to be taxed at a 6% rate.
Yeah.
4% is for your primary residence. And so if your intention is to buy in South Carolina, just have that education and that knowledge going into it, which again, you know, all of your team and your people around you that you've hired to work on your behalf, they're all going to help and know that information.
Yeah, and let's kind of give some numbers to that because that has crossed up a few of my buyers previously.
Right.
And so if you're buying a primary residence in South Carolina, and let's just say your tax bill is $1,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're buying it as a second home or investment property, the state of South Carolina is going to tax that property differently.
Right.
Your tax bill and just, you know, dollar for dollar is going to end up being about $2,800. Mm-hmm. So difference of, you know, a good bit,
right.
What about $150 extra a month in South Carolina that property is going to cost you.
Right.
So now your baseline of taxes are probably going to be a little bit lower than North Carolina to
right.
start with. But you should, you know, be aware that you are going to pay if you look at a property's tax bill online. And it says $1,000 a month is most likely a primary residence. If you were to buy that property as a rental, going to look, you know, around $2,800. And, of course, you know, you can call us anytime. Call Rebecca and get the skinny and the full numbers on that as we right. as you look to do that.
And so, you know, buying where you know, it may make more sense for your goals, depending on who you are, how much money you want to spend. If your budget is $400,000, then yeah, of course, let's go find you a rental and take a K because we know that it's probably going to bring you $1,800 to $2,500 a month in rental income versus,
yeah.
you know, if we went down to Rock Hill near Winthrop, we probably would be seeing $900 to $1,200 of,
right.
of rental income. And so buy where you know, yet understand there's other variables that could potentially have an effect to how much money you can spend.
Definitely. And if you can't buy where you know, call a phenomenal real estate agent like Rebecca Cullen at Keller Williams and get her knowledge of where you should be looking
right.
at and what are the pros and cons of each area. So, you know, it kind of goes back to making sure that you're working with a professional, knowledgeable team of
right.
people who's going to look out for your best interest. And so feel free to call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. You are listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We've got Rebecca Cullen here talking about investment properties.
Yes.
So much good information.
Yeah, and great information I'm learning from you too, Brandon.
So we talked about kind of the difference between North and South Carolina, kind of the, like, you know, where to buy, you know, price range. And so is there a specific figure that, you know, as a real estate investor starting out that I need to, hey, if I know if this property is going to be, you know, $1,000 a month, I can't, you know, buy a property that's not going to net me at least X number of dollars a month. Is there any, you know, numbers like that?
Again, it's all about the goals for each person. Some people, of course, we've been talking about buy and hold. Some people truly just want to flip a property.
Yeah.
They just want, I've even had people who want to buy land and flip it.
Yeah.
And you can do great things over in Indian Land, South Carolina.
Right.
With that. And even York, down in York, South Carolina, you can get land acreage for like $8,000 an acre. It's
right.
nuts. So it's really smart to understand what's going on around you. And if your intention is to flip, we would probably be recommending places that are a little less desirable.
Right.
So I'll give you a good example of a less desirable area. So the Seversville in Charlotte, so Uptown Charlotte, mm-hmm. Belmont, Uptown Charlotte, those were probably not desirable places for people to be investing probably 3 to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so now you're watching, it's like Dilworth over there now.
Oh, yeah.
And you're seeing some $700,000 condos going up.
Crazy.
It is absolutely not. I almost wish I was a developer.
Yeah.
Developing some of those parcels of land over there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even if the area is not desirable now, for where the growth of Charlotte and York County and Lancaster County are going, mm-hmm. Mecklenburg County, if you're in Charlotte, it is definitely something to look into if your intention is to develop or flip, buy and hold.
Right.
There's better areas than others.
Yeah. So let's do talk about flip transactions just for, you know, just for a few minutes, because it is a part of the investment market.
Yes.
There is some money to be made. Very kind of cutthroat business right now. I mean,
yes.
You know, the properties are so tough to get.
Yes.
Just a lot of investors out there. So do you have some investors that you help do some flips?
Yeah. So I have one in particular that I've been working with for, you know, in the background 2 years, where we haven't been able to find anything because cash is king right now in that world. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of networking events for the real estate investor.
Yep.
And they're literally just talking to each other amongst themselves of, hey, I bought this wholesale property.
Right.
And wholesaling is just not on the market, truly at cost.
Right.
And so someone buys it intending to flip it.
Right.
Then has a conversation with someone over here that will pay $10,000 more up front, and now they own it.
Right.
And they have a general contractor that works on it.
Yeah.
And then Madison Park is a great area for that happening in Charlotte. And so, it's definitely cutthroat.
Yeah.
So I have been talking to someone in particular we just haven't been able to find the right property.
Right.
I have a couple of general contractor friends who they have their own real estate license, mm-hmm. and that world they do well in because they can walk into a property,
right.
know exactly what they have to do to it and how much it's going to cost, and they're able to make $50,000 to $100,000 on a cheap property that they bought.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing right now in the market we're at. If you can't walk through a house the day it's listed,
right.
you know, and kind of see, okay, hey, we need to fix this, we need to do this, we need to repair that, or just, you know, cosmetic.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't envision that and do have an idea of what that's going to cost, you might not want to get into that world, because you could easily overpay for a property, mm-hmm. or overspend on repairs, or and then the property sits.
Yes.
If you want to, you know, just price it arbitrarily, what just to get your money back. Maybe it's too expensive for the market.
Right.
That property's just going to sit, and you're going to lose more money.
Yeah, my poor first-time home buyers, they haven't had a chance to get a house since 2016.
Yeah.
So Just because the world that we're in, under $200,000 price point, there's too many cash buyers, and that's a great thing.
Right.
Yet, you know, the investors are the ones that are buying them.
Yeah, and it, you know, it doesn't help that there's, you know, so many of these huge corporations, huge companies out here buying substantial amounts of houses in those price ranges.
Yes.
I think last count, I used to be more knowledgeable, but I think it was like maybe 6 to 9 large companies buying at least 2,000 properties in the greater Charlotte area.
I believe it.
So, I mean, that's, you know, do the math. That is a lot of houses within that price range, all cash offers.
Yes.
So they're able to, you know, go kind of, you know, outbid anybody, and, you know, they're not doing any appraisals. They're not.
Right.
So,
yes.
So it makes it easier for the seller.
Yes.
So it's a good deal for the seller, but, you know, it hurts people who are looking to get that, you know, first time home.
Right.
In that price range.
Yes.
But is the way of the world, I guess.
It is. And it'll slow down. And actually, I was working with a first-time home buyer. She decided in January of 2018 that she wanted to buy her first home. And she was so excited. Super cute girl. And she lost out on, I think we made 7 offers.
Wow.
Over and over. Under $175,000 price point. And it was anywhere in Charlotte. We had the whole entire city of Charlotte that we were going to. And the house that she ended up purchasing, the reason why she got it was because the seller wanted to do a rent back for 59 days, because it required 59 days. And so because she didn't have to be in that house and had time, she now is a landlord.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I want another one. And I'm like, you haven't even moved in yet. So, you know, you feel like as a real estate agent, you have these opportunities to help first-time home buyers.
Definitely.
However, switching her mindset, saying, hey, are you okay? She's making $1,200 a month on this house that she probably has a $900 mortgage.
Yeah.
Such a smart decision for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, that's how kind of you got started.
Yes, exactly.
You know, in the business. Kind of similar to how I got started, and you know, maybe some of the best things happen just by, you know, by chance. But
true.
You know, don't leave your financial picture to chance. Make sure you give us a call. We will, you know, get you with a team of financial advisors, CPAs, real estate investors. We could put you on and make sure you develop a great portfolio for the future. Call us during or after the show, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, and we've got Rebecca Cullen here, Keller Williams, talking about investment properties and really kind of growing your financial nest egg. And if your real estate is a fantastic way to do that, obviously we're both experienced in that and doers, not just sayers.
Yes, exactly.
So how do you, obviously one of the biggest pieces is actually getting the money.
Right.
After you buy the property,
yes.
How do you vet tenants correctly? Is there a process that you help your clients go through?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a process that you've gone through personally to make sure that the person you put in your home is going to pay and is going to, you know, keep up what they are supposed to do for the property?
Yes. So, of course, if you want to go the property manager route, they'll take care of all that for you. Yet, as a self-manager, and I know you are, there's a great program called, I think it's like tenantbackgroundsearch.com or something.
Okay.
I have used multiple tenant screening searches, and this one is by far the best. And I had helped back in April a family put their house back on the rental market, and just so happened to find the tenant for them, and able to do that background screening for them and connect the dots. And it was very, what's the right word? It was detailed,
yeah,
to say the least. I probably know way more about those people than I ever should. Yet that's important. We need to know credit. We need to know what their rental past history was. If they were late on mortgage ever in the past, that's going to probably show back up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really important for me to provide, of course, if they want to self-manage themselves, I'll provide the tools for them, recommendations. However, it is super important to have a true background check for every single person.
Yeah, without a doubt. I would recommend going overboard.
Yes.
You know, I recommend going overboard for your, you know, for your finances. You know, I think, going back to what I said in the very beginning, you know, I think people in general, investors included, you know, don't prioritize every dollar.
Right.
Well, you really got to prioritize every dollar. You should do that in your own personal financial picture. You know, you should budget. You should do all this. We want you to succeed financially. You should also do it in your business world. And if you're buying investment properties, every dollar counts. And part of that picture is making sure that you're going to get every dollar.
Absolutely.
and really vetting those the people that you're putting in your homes.
Yes. Yes. Well, and so another really exciting way to make money in the investment world, which is what I'm currently doing, is the vacation rental market.
Yeah.
And, you know, we keep talking, reach out to the experts, reach out to the experts.
Right.
Well, I really wanted a beach house.
Yeah.
And I don't live at the beach. And
right.
So, again, know where you're buying. I didn't know anything about this area. And so I truly picked up the phone and I said, I need an agent. I'm an agent, yet I need one.
Yeah.
And so I found a buyer's agent in that area. And truly my goal was I wanted a house that had rental history.
Yep.
I didn't want to start from scratch. Not knowing the area, not knowing what the market was like there, really leaned on this expert.
Absolutely.
And so bought in Holden after searching. We were in Southport. I think we knew we wanted to be south of Wilmington.
Okay.
And so narrowing that down, she kind of helped us with, okay, here's how much money you have. Here's what you can afford. This is furnished, or they're selling it furnished. And she only showed me properties that had true, I think it was 3 years minimum history.
Wow.
That there was rental income.
Yeah.
And so now our property we've had for over a year, and we have had full sellout between May 15th to September 15th. And our mortgage is paid for in that 14-week period.
Fantastic. So in those off months, is it just how do you handle that? Because I'm actually been thinking about doing this myself, and I know there are a lot of people. Hey, who wouldn't like to have a beach house? But obviously, hey, we need to maybe cover some payments,
right?
And rent it out.
Yes.
What does it look like from a yearly piece?
So. We do get people that want to rent it in the off season.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's cake. That's just gravy.
Yeah.
That allows us to stay there during the holidays or frankly, whenever we want to go down.
Right.
We always laugh because people during the summer are like, how's your beach house? How's going to the beach? And I say, I haven't been there.
Yeah.
I would rather people to be there
and
rent it out at the, you know, the high income that I have.
Yeah.
We have maintenance that we do during the off season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we need to repaint, and it's important, Ritz-Carlton Experience, customer service.
Yeah.
I want these people who are spending this kind of money on my beach house to have that 5-star experience.
And to come back.
To come back. And that's what was important. I don't want them to not come back. So, taking that surplus of income from that 14-week period, we just put it back into the house. And we haven't taken any money out profit-wise yet.
Of
course, just a year. And it's great. We were able to get all new furniture last year. We were able to we're in the process of putting new light fixtures up and making it special for our guests.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I think that you know, obviously we're business owners, and I think every business owner should invest in themselves, invest in their business. And so that obviously that's what you're doing with your property. And so, I think that's phenomenal. You really should look to, you know, reinvest in your business, in your real estate, to make it, you know, that much better.
Right.
And so, so fantastic. So I'm going to have to talk to you about maybe looking at some beach houses.
Yes. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. So, hey, you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Rebecca, we in studio here. Rebecca, what's the best way? I know there's a lot of people out there who want to get into real estate investing. They're just not sure where to start. I would recommend, you know, them to call you. How can they best get your information?
Yeah. So my phone number is 980-428-4477. And I am available to have a consultation, chat with you about next steps. I have a website. It's called beanopenerofdoors.com.
Yeah, love it.
And truly, it was created because I wanted people to know that there's opportunities out there.
Yeah.
Very many different opportunities for them to have success. So they can get a hold of me that way.
Excellent. We fully believe that real estate and real estate investing is a key contributor to overall wealth building, which we want to make sure that we help you succeed in. So call us again, 704-999-6646. We appreciate you tuning in. Been a great show, and we will catch you next Saturday, 9 a.m. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to Brandon Kohlberg, the Dealmaker, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit him online at thedealmakershow.com. Join us again next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for The Dealmaker here on 100.1 FM WRHI.